And I'd ask that you turn in your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 6.
I want to continue with our study we've had going here in Isaiah 6 on the imperative of world missions. This morning we'll read only one verse in Isaiah 6, right in the middle, verse number 8. I'd ask that you'd stand in respect to the Word of God as we do so. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8. After seeing the vision of the Lord high and lifted up, seated upon His throne, the seraphim all about Him, sensing His own sinfulness, the application of the coal by the seraphim, then Isaiah says in verse number 8, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" Father, we thank You for this one verse of Scripture. We ask Your blessing upon us as we consider it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now it would be good if we could take the time to go back into the first four verses of this chapter and see what Isaiah saw in our minds. To see God in the temple, upon His throne, not just seated upon the floor of the temple, but as the Word of God tells us, high and lifted up. And so the insignificance of Isaiah by having to look up to see God is within this vision that he saw. The holiness being cried out by the seraphim as they hover over this holy scene. The temple, the doors, says the posts of the door, shaking as if in a major earthquake at the sound of the voice of the one upon the throne. What an awesome sight that was before the face of Isaiah this day. As God was teaching him not to look to man, but to look to God, the God in heaven, the holy God, the almighty God, the omnipotent God. And as Isaiah looked, his response is very much like any other man who had an opportunity to see a marvelous vision such as this in the Word of God, and I believe is the same reaction that you and I will have the very moment we end our existence in this world and travel to the next. And as we stand before God, our Savior, I think we will have the same response that we find Isaiah having. An overwhelming sense of our own inadequacy before this holy God. This God who is perfect and pure in His holiness, whose holiness we cannot ever hope to attain to. And as the scene is developing in Isaiah's life, and the angel then comes with, as we saw last time, the coal touching it to his lips. And now the way of communication, the relationship restored between man and God. Isaiah hears the voice. The same voice that shook the posts of the door of the temple. The same voice that in its authority and in its power and its sovereignty that caused what we would call an earthquake today. And Isaiah hears this voice booming out, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Now don't overlook the plurality there of the pronoun, us. Everywhere through the Word of God, though the Trinity is not a Bible word, we find the Trinity there for us. It began in the very beginning when God said, talked about making man in His image. He used the plural there as well. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We saw it previously in this chapter with the holy, holy, holy. God the Father is holy. God the Son is holy. God the Holy Spirit is holy. But the question is asked, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Now imagine yourself if you're Isaiah at this moment. I imagine he's at least on his knees, if not standing by now, after the application of the redemption provided by God. When that relationship is restored, the communication lines of communications are opened once again. Man then has confidence, as we're told in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. There's no more quivering, there's no more crawling on our face before God, but now there's that confidence that comes of a child to a father, a child to a mother. That relationship is there, and so Isaiah, I believe, is looking upon God, and he hears this voice thundering it out, and he's seeing all the splendor, all the glory, and he can't help himself, and he says, "Here am I. Send me. God, don't overlook me. God, let me serve you." Here in this verse, we find our fourth biblical imperative of world missions. The first was just simply the glory of God. We've got a glorious God in heaven that we need to tell the world about, in contrast to the gods of the world, Allah and Buddha and all the other gods who don't even exist. Well, what a marvelous contrast the God of heaven is. That alone ought to cause us to spread the gospel throughout the world, telling them of the glory of our God, the God, not just our God, but the whole world's God, though they may not recognize Him. In verse number 5, we saw the second imperative, and that was simply the sinfulness of even good men. Isaiah was a good man. If he compared himself to his own culture, he was an incredibly good and holy man, a prophet of God. And yet he saw his holiness, or his sinfulness. And so we saw the need of even those that look like us, live like us, their need of the gospel, the sinfulness of even good men. We saw thirdly in verses 6 and 7 last time that the redemption available in Christ is another imperative to world missions. The fact that God sent His Son to die for that lost sinner. Whether he be your neighbor, whether he live across the country, or whether he live on the other side of the world, Jesus Christ came and died for their soul. The redemption is available, and we need to go share that good news. Now we see fourthly in verse number 8, the fourth imperative, biblical imperative for world mission, is just simply the plan of God to use men. The plan of God to use men. Now I find it fascinating in Isaiah 6:8 that God did not say to the seraphim that are hovering above His throne, calling out, "Holy, holy, holy," He doesn't say to the seraphim, "Hey, you go down and you tell the nation of Israel, you go down and tell the people in Africa, you will go over to Asia and you tell them of the glory of God, you tell them of the sinfulness of even good men, you tell them of the redemption available in Christ." He didn't send the angels to go out and share this message, did He? He asked the question, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Again, God did not say, "Seated upon His throne that day in a voice so strong with authority that it shook the very building in which He was in." He did not call out at the top of His lungs. Can you imagine God trying to call out at the top of His lungs? But nevertheless, God calling out with all of His power, all of His authority, that Jesus Christ is God. He came to earth and died for your sin. And unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. Can you imagine God sharing the gospel Himself at this moment when Isaiah heard Him speaking? But God chose not to do it Himself. Imagine. God's looking for men. God's looking for women. God's looking for young people who are in the same position that Isaiah is. Men and women and young people are willing to say, "Here am I, send me." Now we oftentimes regret saying, or we hold back from saying that to God because we're afraid God is going to call us to the other side of the globe. And you know what? He might. I never imagined I'd be heading to the Philippines. To share the gospel, try and encourage Filipino pastors to be faithful in the work that God has called them to. But when I said to God, "Here am I, send me," it was a blank check of my life that I gave to God, and God wants the same from you. And the only reason you haven't shared with God that blank check of your life is, number one, you don't understand the glory of God. Number two, you don't understand the sinfulness of even good men, including yourself. And number three, you haven't fully grasped the fact of the redemption Christ has provided. But when we grab a hold of these things, when we understand these things, then we can't help, and we get caught up in the moment, we can't help ourselves, and we're willing to say, here am I, send me. Our kids make some great decisions. They get in the environment and hear the preaching and see the glory of God and God working in the lives of others. They can't help but say, here am I, God, send me. But we as adults need to lead the way. We need to be willing. God isn't going to call all of us to be missionaries. God isn't going to call all of us to be pastors. God only calls a few. Because God needs men and women that are out in the workplace, out in the community. Men and women that are making a relationship with lost people and building a testimony. People who are God's mouthpieces out in our world today. That are willing to say, here am I, send me. Willing to share the glory of God, the sinfulness of good men, and the redemption available in Christ. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. He wants to use you. The question is, are you willing to let Him use you? Are you willing to let this all-powerful, almighty, even omniscient God know you? So often we get the argument that, you know, God can't really use me. There's someone better, more suited for the task. And so I'm not going to be used. I'm not going to offer myself. Turn if you would. We'll be coming back to Isaiah, but to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Many of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture, but I think we need to understand this. And what God is telling us here in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, linked together with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because we need to realize that all of us are inadequate, all of us are unworthy. But God wants to use us anyway. That's been His plan from the very beginning. And He has a reason for it. And He tells us that reason here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's begin with verse number 18. We need to read a number of verses here. So follow along if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now them that perish are just simply the lost. Those who have not yet accepted Christ. Some have never heard the gospel message. Some have heard it and rejected it. Okay? To them that perish, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, I think it's pretty evident who God is talking about. That's you, that's me. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now don't miss that statement. It is the power of God. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Too often we're looking at our own power, our own ability, the things we can do, and we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and realize that when we share the gospel, it's the power of God in the lives of others. When we share the Word of God, that's the power of God that God uses in a marvelous way. We don't have to worry about our inadequacies. We just need to be faithful. We just need to be faithful. Verse 19, for it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Now, that's not used in a negative sense. We normally consider disputing someone who's argumentative, but this is more someone who is a debater, someone who has wisdom, the ability to argue a point with logic and success. Okay? In the context here in this verse, verse number 19 or verse number 20, is you're in the church, just like we are this morning, and you're looking around and you're asking these questions. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? The scribe is the one who studied God's Word, who interpreted God's Word, the one who told the rest what God expected of them. Okay, where's the scribe? The Bible scholar. Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God.
it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Let's skip down now to verse number 25. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's the point God's trying to make here. That's the whole point behind Isaiah 6:8 when he says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" God says, I'm not sending an angel. I'm not sending a supernatural messenger. I'm not going myself. I'm sending men and women for one reason. In order that the foolishness of God, the preaching of the cross, will be seen to be wiser than the wisest of this world's wisdom. And that the weakness of God and all of His omnipotence, shown and proven through the average man and woman, is stronger than the strongest of men. Okay, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many honorable are called. Again, we're looking out in our church family. We're looking out even in the seat in which we find ourselves. And God says this, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has called... God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him... are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so God here lays out His plan for the ages of sharing the gospel. He says He's going to choose the foolish. He's going to choose the weak. He's going to choose the base, those that aren't noble. He's going to choose us. So that when we go out and share the gospel, and God uses us, and His power is shown through us, that God gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. The question is, this morning, will you let God get the glory in your life? Will you let God get the glory in your life? Will you get a glimpse of God? And in response, to that glimpse, say, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Just give Him that blank check of your life. Say, God, whatever you want to do with me. Whether it's to go across the globe as a missionary into the deepest, darkest rainforest, or whether it's to stay at home to try to win my neighbor for Christ, and support those you do call to go across the globe. Here am I. Send me. Receive all the glory from my life. That's the fourth imperative for world missions. It's simply God's plan to use you. God's plan to use you. Will you let Him use you today? Father, we thank You for Your Word. How You reveal to us Your marvelous plan that You use us. And even after we're saved, we understand that we're still wretched sinners, saved by grace. Wholly unworthy of Your blessing and Your goodness in our lives. Wholly unworthy to be used by You. And yet, how marvelous it is that You have chosen to use us. Father, let us not take this privilege lightly. But Father, during this time of invitation, may we just present ourselves at an old-fashioned altar to say, God, I don't know what You want, but whatever it is, You can have it. Father, I give myself, present myself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just my reasonable service.
Father, may we respond to this call found in Isaiah 6. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.